Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Tuesday, June 25th. Today, Sun business reporter Tamara Chung breaks down the latest job report in Colorado as unemployment inches up and the jobs-to-workers ratio also changes. Before we begin, want to breathe easier this summer? Take simple steps for better air and help reduce harmful ground-level ozone in your Front Range community. Learn more at simplestepsbetterair.org. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Historians may rank President Warren G. Harding poorly, but thousands adored him in Denver on this day in 1923. Harding and his wife embarked on a voyage of understanding to escape Washington's scandals and connect with the public. Arriving in Denver on June 24th, they visited with World War I soldiers, dined with Senator Phipps, and stayed at the Brown Palace Hotel. The next day, Harding participated in a parade, greeted children, and spoke to 12,000 people at the city auditorium, advocating for prohibition and a world court. In his only local remark, Harding praised the recent Colorado River Compact as a model for governmental cooperation. After his speech, his train continued to Wyoming. Harding died in San Francisco on August 2nd, ending the voyage and his presidency prematurely. Before we continue, as a locally owned business, Applewood prides itself on delivering exceptional plumbing, heating, and electrical services to the people of Colorado. Their team of licensed and certified professionals will tackle any home comfort issues you might have, as they always have for 50 years. Because when you choose Applewood, you're not just investing in their services, but also their employees and families. You're investing back into your community. Applewood Plumbing, Heating, and Electric. Locally owned, family operated for 50 years. Learn more at applewoodfixit.com. Next, our feature story.
Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone. I'm David Krause, one of the editors here at The Sun, and it is a Business Tuesday session of The Sun Up with my friend and business reporter, Tamara Chung. How are you, Tamara?
I'm doing great. A little warm, but I guess I'll make it.
It's summertime, right? Got to stand the heat or you got to get out of the kitchen, as they say. Hey, all right, so fresh off the presses, as it were, you got the latest job numbers report came out on Monday from the state. Tamara, chat us up on the latest job numbers and what unemployment's looking like.
Sure. So these numbers usually come out on a Friday, and I can usually get them into my weekend column. But of course, this being June, for some reason, they came out on a Monday. And the latest is that the Colorado's unemployment rate ticked up just a bit, 1/10 of a percentage point. So we're now at 3.8% unemployment rate. The thing about that is, you know, this little number has been going up ever so slightly for the past several months. In December, it was 3.3%. So now we're at 3.8%. You know what this means? I think that was probably what you were going to ask next.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly. We've seen this trend going up a little bit. So kind of perspective overall, like in the past six months or the past year.
Sure. So parts of it is math, right? I mean, the number of people who are unemployed is going up ever so slightly. And the number of people in the state's labor force has gone down ever so slightly. So on one hand, we are still near record employment, and you know the size of the labor force is, you know, the largest it's been since I think actually maybe since December as well. The data is in my story, but the one thing that has been going on is that more people are filing for unemployment. They're sharing that they're unemployed. So that number was up about 3,000 between April and May, because the latest job report is actually from May, since May is completely over. And in looking at, you know, why that might be happening, you know, there's the biggest industries, you know, most of the industries in the state did have job increases. or increases in the number of workers and stuff. But trade and transportation was down a little bit, or had the largest decline. And when you look at the types of jobs or the sectors of jobs, you know, one of them was artists, entertainment or arts, entertainment and recreation had 1,700 jobs lost in from April to May. And that's, you know, to me, I had asked economists, well, what could this mean? You know, is this like the shoulder season going from spring, winter sports to summer? But some of the economists I talked to were like, I don't know, that might be a bit of a stretch. You know, it's really hard to say. It could be that the data that this is based on, the sample size is maybe too small. And that kind of, that's why data, like especially labor data, gets revised all the time. So that's kind of what we're finding right now.
Tamara, we record this midday Monday. You're still getting a hold of people to just get some ideas. What, you know, what are economists saying about this latest uptick, though, when we talk about going up to 3.8%? Have we seen that? When was the last time we've seen that number? Is there a number if you get to 4%? Do they go, oh, wait a minute, we might have something going on? Or what does that look like?
Well, labor economists are still, you know, I mean, they're not saying, oh, nothing's happening at all. It's more like a, let's keep an eye on this and see if this trend keeps going up. You know, 3.8%, that is still kind of relatively low for Colorado. The last time we were at this rate was in, you know, excluding, of course, the COVID pandemic era, then when everything went crazy. But the last time Colorado was at 3.8% was in 2015. And that was actually on the way back down to a lower rate, because that was the Great Recession had happened 5 years earlier. But that was a long recovery. And for the Great Recession, the highest unemployment rates hit was 9.4% in November 2010. So having, you know, a rate, you know, a 2% rate, which is what we were at in the last couple years or so, that is really low. And that makes it hard for employers to find people to work for them. You know, the higher rates, of course, any, you know, getting over 4 or 5, 6%, I'm sure the economists I talked to will be a lot more, will have a lot more to say when that starts happening, if that starts happening. But, you know, right now, there's still actually a lot of job growth, according to the numbers. So it's more about, maybe it's still, you know, making sure people, the jobs are rightly suited to the people applying for them.
So you kind of hit on it, Tamara, just now, but let's expand on what you wrote on over the weekend. In the What's Working column has a parallel, right, about the number of available workers to job openings. And that number is getting a little tighter as well. How is that playing out, and how do they play off each other?
Sure. So the job openings to unemployed workers, you know, this is actually a really common ratio that we've been hearing in Colorado, about 2 open jobs for every unemployed person looking for one here in the state. And at its, quote, worst, which I would say is when the labor shortage really hit Colorado's employers 2 years ago, when nobody could find anybody to work for them, you know, that's when we saw almost 3 open jobs for every unemployed worker. Now that number, because of fewer job openings and higher unemployment, that number is 1.7 open jobs for every unemployed worker.
So that is making it easier for people to find employees then, right, Tamara? I mean, what's the business community saying about that?
Yeah, actually, that shift? Yes, you're right. And I think, you know, I did reach out to a few employers, McDonald's for one, the local McDonald's chain, the Rocky Mountain Group, which has 200 restaurants as part of its restaurant sector or regional sector.
Which, by the way, as a sidebar, when I read that, I was like, holy cow, I had no idea there were that many in the region. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
and that does include like Wyoming and a few other surrounding states. But, I think the base is here in Colorado. Yeah. And that number hasn't really changed in the last few years. But I've talked to those folks at McDonald's for the last several years, especially right around now because of summer jobs. Mm-hmm. And, a few years ago, they were hiring like 6,000 people. and the thing is, I think what has happened to a lot of employers is because of that dramatic labor shortage issue from a couple years ago, there's been a lot of changes in how they hire and retain workers. So kind of the summer temporary jobs, that's kind of out. Companies are trying to hire long-term because even if they're students, like the McDonald's, I'd interviewed them last year and talked to her again, the franchise owner again, last week. Had mentioned, if they can keep these high schoolers on during the school year, even if it's, a few hours a week part-time, that works for them. So they're really flexible. It's not like there's no end date for these summer hires. At least that's part of the trend that's been going on for like the past 2 years or so. Same thing with United Airlines. I talked to them a couple years ago or in the past 2 years. And like 2 years ago, they needed so many employees. They held several in-person job fairs here in the Denver area. And, it was partly to, get a lot of people hired for like the ramps, customer service, stuff like that. But now they're good. I asked them, well, hey, are you still looking for a lot of people? Or are you still struggling to find people? And they're like, no, we're good. We're full staff now. But that said, United has been expanding. They've added a lot of new gates and destinations. So even though they are fully staffed, they still have probably about 200 openings for, the customer service, ramp, baggage handlers and stuff like that. So full staff means that's just the constant churn of how many employees they need. So it's kind of a back to normal for some of these companies. And that's why the job openings has gone down because they're not needing to get so many in the pipeline. And one other thing about that is, the biggest issue probably 2 years ago with the labor shortage was that, applicants, people weren't applying, or if they were applying, they weren't showing up for interviews, or if they were showing up for interviews and got hired, they weren't showing up for day one of the job. That has changed. So, that's a healthier economic environment for a lot of employers. Hopefully that's true for workers too. I mean, I do have a poll out there asking for folks, are you still looking for work or have you found all the staff you need? So if anyone's listening, feel free to go take that poll.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What's the early results on that?
I haven't looked, but I think it's, like all of these polls, they tend to be, I sort of asked, it's supposed to be kind of a fun poll too. So I kind of put those answers out there so it would be like, is it still hard to find a job or find workers? And everyone would say yes. But what I hope for is that people fill out their reasons why. Mm-hmm. What are you actually seeing and spell it out? Because that's sort of the feedback that really helps me as a reporter. And often I reach out to the folks who share their comments and sometimes even to the employers. I mean, if someone mentions an employer, sometimes I'll reach out to them as well, just because I have a heads up that this might be happening in that company.
Yeah, I love that. And if you aren't signed up for Tamarit's free weekly newsletter, What's Working, comes out every Saturday. We do those reader surveys in there. They're always a lot of fun, like you mentioned, Tamara. Really appreciate the time and the chat today. If you want to read more business news around Colorado, I encourage you to check out the website at coloradosun.com. Also, the Sun is a member of the Trust Project, so you can see our commitment to trusted journalism at coloradosun.com/ethics. Tamara, try to stay cool and make it a great week, my friend.
You too, and thanks everyone for listening.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. It's primary election day in Colorado, where voters choose which major party candidates will appear on the ballot in the November general election for Congress and the state legislature. In the 4th Congressional District, voters will also cast ballots in a special election to determine who serves out the remainder of former U.S. Representative Ken Buck's term. The Republican resigned in March. Since Colorado is a same-day voter registration state, residents can register to vote until polls close at 7 o'clock. Go to coloradosun.com to find more on the primary and to get results tonight after the polls close. The Denver City Council will vote on whether to give more city employees the chance to be covered by collective bargaining. The City Council will vote on the measure July 8th. If approved, the decision will be sent to Denver voters on the November ballot. The amendment to the charter could affect about 7,000 municipal city workers, including library workers, park rangers, trash collectors, social workers, and others who might want to unionize. Every major democratically controlled city in a blue state has granted its workers those rights in its city charter, except for Denver. The Supreme Court will consider reviving a critical approach for a railroad project that would carry crude oil through Colorado. Eagle County has sued to block the line. The justices said Monday they'll review an appeals court ruling that overturned the approval issued by the Surface Transportation Board for the Uinta Basin Railway in eastern Utah. Arguments will be in the fall. The 88-mile rail line would connect oil and gas producers in rural Utah to the broader rail network, including in Colorado, and allow them to sell to refineries near the Gulf of Mexico. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
This is Christina Pritchett, Marketing and Events Specialist at the Colorado Sun. In my role, I get to witness the Sun's impact on our state firsthand. I always leave our events feeling inspired by those who attend and share the impact that the Sun has in their daily lives. If you're a follower of the Sun, please reach out and tell us what you think of our reporting and let us know how it makes a difference in your life. The Sun is member supported, so if you're not yet a member, please consider joining us today at coloradosun.com/join.